No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we see where Micah prophesies that in the future the Lord will reign in Jerusalem, and the nations will flow there. Jerusalem will go to Babylon, but the ruler will come from Bethlehem. We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl continues in Micah chapter 4 on Simply the Bible.
To be honest, this is the first time that I've actually taught through the book of Micah as we go through all of the minor prophets. And I had no idea how much there is in this little book of Micah. I mean, Micah speaks of the first and second comings of Christ. He speaks about the Babylonian captivity that would happen to Jerusalem. And then he speaks about the millennial kingdom and the reign of Christ in Jerusalem. It's a wonderful passage we're going to look at today. We continue in Micah chapter 4. Now, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." What a wonderful time that this will be. So Micah is giving us here a window into the latter days, the end times. And at that time, there will be a millennial temple that is built, according to Ezekiel. We studied all about this. And this temple will be prominent in the world. In fact, all the nations will be attracted to Jerusalem to come and worship the Lord there. And Jerusalem will be the global place of instruction and revelation. The people will say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths." Because out of Zion or Jerusalem, the law will go forth into all the world. What a wonderful time this will be, where there will be justice and instruction and knowledge of the Lord. And the Lord will be the judge there at Jerusalem. No longer will there be judges who are unjust, but the Lord himself will be the judge, and he will make sure that throughout the world justice is served. It will be a world in which righteousness dwells. Also, peace will be universal. The millennium will be the new age that people have longed for, a time when the earth's resources can be used for good. There won't be any more starvation. Instead of using the resources for military budgets, it will be used to take care of people. "But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." This will be wonderful, a time when Israel will dwell in security and peace. They won't have to worry about the people around them coming in and attacking them. But every Jewish family longs for a pleasant home with a productive garden, living in a peaceful land, and that's as it will be during the kingdom age. Israel will be eternally loyal to the Lord, to Yahweh. Now, Israel have been attracted to the gods of other nations, and even today, many of the people living in Israel are living there in unbelief. But in the kingdom age, they will only walk in the name of Yahweh forever. Verse 6, "In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast and those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. And so God will gather Israel back to their homeland and make them strong, though the remnant of Jews might be small and weak and lame comparatively, yet God will gather them from all the nations and make them into a mighty army. It speaks here of the daughter of Zion. Now, that refers to the city of Jerusalem. It is a term of endearment, assuring the people of God's loving care for them. Since the Messiah will reign from Zion, the nation will no longer be under the domination of others, but will have the dominion that God intended for her. Now, Micah shifts gears here to speak of events that would happen before the millennium. Verse 9. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs. For now you shall go forth from the city. You shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. So Micah predicts here that before the kingdom age, Israel would be exiled to Babylon. Zedekiah would be the last king of Judah sitting on the throne of David until Messiah comes. Now, this occurred 150 years after Micah made this prediction. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon conquered Jerusalem and captured Zedekiah. The inhabitants of Jerusalem were exiled to Babylon, and these were the great labor pains that the daughter of Jerusalem would experience. Now, this was a remarkable prediction because at the time Micah made this prediction, Babylon was relatively insignificant and was under the power of the Assyrians. They were the global power. Now, after 70 years of captivity, a remnant of Jews would return to Judah. The exile, besides punishing the nation, was used to purge her of idolatry and also train her in more godly living. Verse 11. Now also many nations have gathered against you who say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel. For he will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Now, once again, the prophet looks ahead down the centuries to the end times and sees the people being attacked by many Gentile nations. They would gloat over Israel because they are certain that they will defeat her. Some commentators see this as pointing to Ezekiel 38 and 39, the battle scenario where Russia, Iran, and other nations invade Israel. Others see it as pointing to the battle of Armageddon in Revelation at the end of the Great Tribulation. But these nations that are gathered against Jerusalem, they don't know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand that he will fight for Israel, and their attempt to conquer the Jews will be disastrous. These nations will be devastated like sheaves of grain being broken up when threshed on a threshing floor. Verse 13, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron and I will make your hooves bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples. I will consecrate their grain to the Lord and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. Then chapter 5, now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. And so God would give them horns of iron, which is a symbol of power, and hooves of bronze, so that they would have both power and speed as they would attack their enemies. Then they would give the spoils of the warfare to the Lord. And this certainly is what will happen in the Ezekiel 38-39 scenario, where there will be so many spoils from the nations that attack Israel that they will have fuel for 7 years. Now, Micah again returns to the Babylonian siege when Nebuchadnezzar would strike King Zedekiah with a rod on the cheek. In fact, he would kill Zedekiah's sons, then put out Zedekiah's eyes, bind him, and take him to Babylon. Now, this can be confusing because it goes, you know, forward and then back and so forth, but this is not unusual for Bible prophecy, which often compresses many events that would be spread out in time in a single prophecy. Verse 2 of chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Now Ephrathah was an older name for Bethlehem, which means house of bread. This town was so insignificant that it was not even mentioned in the list of towns of Judah in Joshua 15, and yet it would be the birthplace of the ruler. Of course, when the Magi from the east saw the star and came to Jerusalem, they asked, "Where is the king of the Jews to be born?" And the priest told King Herod that it was going to be in Bethlehem, and they quoted this prophecy. But the amazing thing is that according to Micah, this ruler would have goings forth from of old, from everlasting. So not only was he the son of man, but he was the son of God as well. Micah gives a clear indication here of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. And so here we see both the first and second advent of Christ all combined in this prophecy, now speaking of the future reign of Christ, where he will shepherd his people in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And his strength shall be great to the ends of the earth. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end, and this one shall be peace. Of course, we are told that he himself is our peace. He brings us peace with God, and he shall bring peace to the world during that kingdom age. But you know, you don't have to wait until then to experience the Lord's peace. Jesus told his disciples in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We experience the Lord's peace when we bow the knee to King Jesus, when we confess that we are sinners and that we need him to save us. And then he comes into our life to give us his perfect peace. Have you experienced that? If not, why not invite him to be your Prince of Peace today?
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We're happy to announce that we're building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow, we will return to Isaiah, who was a contemporary of Micah. Isaiah gives us a wonderful insight into Jesus Christ and the things to come. We hope you'll join us as we continue teaching through God's Word on Simply the Bible.